Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is back. He's Ira Kaufman, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the water damage whisperer, Uncle Ira, the king of Newport Richie. Lee DeCamper's here from Joe Bucks Fan. I'm Steve Isbitz from Joe Bucks Fan. And it's the Ira Kaufman podcast. Ira, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing very, very well in this beautiful weather. It's going to be a little hot this afternoon, Lee, but right now, comfortable. All systems go, and I believe we're a month away from the start of training camp, gentlemen. It's a long corner, but it's right around the corner.
Yeah, I'm not a big training camp guy, and that goes way back to when I was in high school.
You don't miss a session, Lee.
I think I missed one practice in 3 years.
Amazing. Well, you want to see who shows up from the national perspective over there. You want to see if Kay Adams is filtering by.
Well, I really don't. Kay Adams will never show up. Otherwise,
but Lee, if she does, you take her to Fleming's. You make a good impression on her.
She wouldn't give me the time of day. Come on now.
Don't short yourself to Kemper.
I go there to take notes, and people like to read the notes columns, apparently, and among other things.
And I show up when the Moving the Chains boys show up.
Yes, you should, yeah.
Miller and Kerwin.
Yeah, you're their boy.
They wanted to have me on the show a couple of weeks ago, Lee, but I didn't see the message.
Yeah, you're too late.
Enough, they were into a Hall of Fame discussion, and I felt proud that I was the guy that they called. And Steve, I'm a couple of months away from coming back on Mad Dog Russo, so I will be back in the fall. I don't know how many years I've been doing this. This might be year 15 or something.
Wednesday is 5 o'clock. Ira on Sirius XM, Mad Dog Radio with Chris Russo. Always
Ira,
a fun time.
Ira, don't you have a compelling story about a connection you made with a relative of a Bucks player?
Yeah, before we get there, Ira, let's get to Bill Curry Ford. Summer vacation. It's their summer vacation event. No payments until the fall. They've got $1,000 more for your trade-in. And this factory pricing that's going on now ends at the end of the month. No joke. So Sean Sullivan, the GM of Bill Curry Ford, he wants everyone taking advantage of this. Don't be that person who's like, oh, man, that deal isn't coming back.
It's a significant saving.
Yeah, it's not coming back, and your trade is never worth more than it is right now. Bill Curry Ford wants your vehicle, and they're family-owned a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Third-generation family dealership. That means something, Ira. Means the family's working there. Sean, he's not in the family, but he's part of the family. He's part of our family at Joe Bucks Fan, and he'll give you the Ira Kaufman discount. BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping there. Curry is, that's the family name. Bill Curry Ford. Don't worry. Drive Curry. I'm seeing here a 2025 Bronco, Ira. Beautiful one. Starting at $37,660 there for ordering a new Bronco. That's
sure,
what you want.
Sure, it's not 57. You said 37.
37, Ira. 37. F-150 is starting at 35.
I'm going there this afternoon. I'm trading in, baby.
You do need a new vehicle, Ira. You drive that 2024 Escape, but it's getting some gray hair on it. Just like yourself. BillCurryFord.com and Florida's Elite Restoration. We love them. Family-owned. Also, Josh Martin and his team. Fantastic. They cover the whole Tampa Bay area and beyond. Florida's Elite Restoration. So when you have water damage of any kind, flood, fire, mold, storm damage, you reach out to Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7. They'll come out ASAP and give you a complete evaluation of what's going on with all their great technology. And if you need them going forward, if you sign up to say, hey, fight with my insurance company to get what I need and repair this and restore it, whatever it needs, they'll give you $500 back if you mention Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks Fan when you first call. But you need them in your disaster plan. FloridasElitereStoration.com. Get there so you can see what they really do and what they offer and who they are. And then you're prepared. It's just that simple. Ira, are you prepared?
Always, Steve. Always. I pride myself on it. Always thinking ahead. I got a bomb shelter. I got 6 years worth of food in there. All the pinto beans you can eat. Steve, I've got cherry turnovers. I've got cosmic donuts. I got it all, Steve.
All right. Good to hear. And thanks again, Florida's Elite Restoration and Bill Curry Ford. All right. So Lee mentioned to you, Ira.
You want me to start this podcast with a story?
Hey, it's kind of interesting. I was sitting at the edge of my seat when you told me because I didn't know where it was going. So go ahead.
All right. Our son is working in Kansas City this summer. And I'll tell you what, he's been there since April. The first 2 months, I'll check the weather every day. Oh, it's 73 degrees in Kansas City. It's 59 at night. All of a sudden, about 10 days ago, Lee, I look it up, 92, 94, 97, showers. Well, anyway, my phone rings at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I see it's my son. Now, you know, for all you mothers and fathers out there that are listening to this podcast, when your kid's working, you don't expect a phone call at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you get one, the first thing you think of is, uh-oh, there's a problem. They need money, this and that. Well, I go, what's up? He goes, well, he's a salesman. And he was at a house, and he says, I'm talking to Rashad White's mother. I said, Rashad White's mother? How did that happen? He says, I don't know. But she mentioned that that's her son. And then I told her that what you do for a living. And she wants to talk to you on the phone. She gets on the phone. Hey, what's going on? You got a good kid here. Kid, he's 39 years old, Lee. I wish I was being told I was a kid at 39. I go, so now I take over the conversation. Oh, your son made great strides as a running back. He went up to 4.3 yards per carry. I'm giving her statistics about her own kid.
You're laying it on thick.
Yeah, laying it on. Mm-hmm. I said, this is a contract year. It's going to be a big year. I think the Bucks want to keep him. If he has a big year, it's going to be tough for the Bucks to let him hit free agency, and one thing leads to another. And then I said, hey, it's 96 degrees out there today, by the way, I checked. Did you give my son some cold lemonade? She goes, no, I don't have any lemonade, but I'm giving him water. So then she gave the phone back to my son, and we hung up. And about an hour later, I said, did you make the sale? And he said, of course. So I'm taking a little pride that maybe I prodded that along a little bit. I should get some of the commissions.
Sure you did.
Hey, I told you a long time ago, I think you should work one day a week at Bill Curry Ford. You sell tons of vehicles.
You know, there was a famous, you guys don't watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. There was one episode when, you know, he's the co-creator of Seinfeld. And
yeah.
One day he's got some, car dealership guy. And he says to the guy, I think I could sell cars. The guy goes, you don't have any training or anything. I think I can do it. I got the gift of gab, and then the whole episode is about him trying to sell people some stuff, and they're asking him technical questions. He doesn't have any answers. You know, it rides good. It rides good. You're going to be happy there. But anyway, that was an unusual call. So when I see Rashad White in training camp, Steve, I'll have to remind him of that conversation with his mom.
Ira, you mentioned contract here. I'm going to ask you a related question.
And he's not the only one, Lee.
No. I'm going to ask you about this. Kate Otten went to the world-renowned tight end university.
I'm glad you mentioned Kate Otten. Go ahead.
And Otten is a contract year. And this camp that Kelsey and Kittle and Greg Olsen formed a few years ago was basically to help out other tight ends, meaning if they can help one tight end get a little bit better, he's going to get a raise. And it's a rising tide lifts all boats kind of thing.
Is O.J. Howard one of the instructors, Lee? Did O.J. Howard make the cut?
They want to help people. So so it's a rising tide lifts all boats kind of thing. One guy gets paid more, that's going to raise the level, the basement, the floor. It's going to raise the floor for tight ends getting paid. Otten's in a contract year. If he learns one thing in this camp that adds 3-4 touchdown catches to his resume, he's going to get a nice piece of change, given his usual durability. Wasn't really durable last year, but usually he is. Are the Bucks going to keep him? Is he good enough of a tight end that Jason Light can feel comfortable cutting him a check when you've got so many others, including Gedeki, that needs to get paid?
My inclination right now is he's going to be a Buccaneer in 26.
Mm.
Bowles likes him, likes his work ethic. Steve, he's improving every year. His numbers are improving. I think he's getting a little bit better as a blocker. He's never going to be John Mackey.
way back machine.
Or Mike Ditka, for those who know.
Way back machine.
Way back. He's not a blocking tight end.
Look on Steve's face. Couldn't you come up with someone in the last 5 years?
Well, no tight ends block anymore. Lee, who the hell am I going to come
sure
up
they
with?
Do. Come on.
Gronkowski.
Yeah, a traditional tight end.
Gronkowski.
Yeah.
And some people think Gronkowski's the greatest ever. He might be.
He's right up there. He's not.
He's right up there. One thing that surprised me doing the research on Otten a couple of weeks ago, writing a story about him, I think he dropped 8 balls. It was a big number. It's a big number. He also made some really tough catches in traffic, Lee, where he got plugged.
Oh, yeah.
And he held on to the ball. Light likes him. Bowles likes him. My inclination is he's in the top half of tight ends. Now, Lee, you mentioned Kate Otten. I saw a post on Joe Bucks Fan today.
I know where you're going.
And I don't know who put the headline on, but the word elite was in the headline. He's not elite.
That's not what the story was about.
And I don't know if somebody was calling him elite, but he's not.
No, it wasn't what the story was about. He was among the elite tight ends, meaning he was at the camp among the elite tight ends, learning and stuff.
All right. So I got to read the story. Steve,
yeah, you got to read the story.
That's right. Read
it was a couple days ago.
But
yeah.
Do we agree he's not
elite? He was also with the scrubs because it's open to everybody. So
He's not elite, Steve, and I like to see him his yards per catch go up a little bit.
He's a solid player, but I don't. You really think Light would break the bank to keep him?
No, he won't break the bank. But I don't. I don't think another team would either.
It only takes one, of course. But you know that goes back to the premise of my question. If he learns a thing or two at this camp that helps him get three or four more touchdown catches, all of a sudden he looks more attractive.
He ends up with seven or eight touchdowns. He's attractive.
Well, Sage, couple of things, Sage. After week 14. He missed 15, 16, and 17, mm-hmm. and he came back and then played in the playoffs, too. So when he got hurt, he was ranked 7th in total catches, 7th in total yards, 4th in completions of 20 yards or more in the NFL. Now, that's
how many touchdowns did he end up with?
I don't know. Don't have it in front of me.
Maybe 4?
Not a ton.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm not arguing here that he's elite at all.
Right.
What I think the Otten question that was asked is he coming back?
Would they
pay him? I think it comes down to the other tight ends. Because Otten plays 97% of the snaps. You don't get rid of a guy who plays 97% of your snaps
without a substitute on hand.
If you thought any of the guys behind him was any good, he wouldn't be playing 97%. So it's hard to take that guy out of your offense unless you really have a replacement who's going to cost you. Or, I mean, unless Light looks at the draft and says, you know what? We love this guy. It's a good tight end class, and we're just going to replace Otten, and we'll be okay. But I think this year will tell the story.
I think Otten has impressed them, the people that he needs to. Mayfield likes him. Mayfield trusts him. All things being equal, I think he's a Buccaneer in 2026 with a new contract. But it's not going to break the bank, Lee. But as you said, in free agency, all it takes is one. And the Bucs have been very adept at making guys – not test the free agent market. They don't even test the free agent market.
I'll give you an example. Only takes one. New England, apparently, I know Pittsburgh was involved, but New England was the only team that was going to throw a wad of creepy Bob Kraft money at Godwin. Now, there was an example, but Godwin wanted to stay here. So it only takes one. Just only takes one.
Ira, what do you consider big money for a tight end? Well, let's start there.
Well,
got to have a number, Ira. You're saying they're not going to throw money at him like that, big money, crazy money. What is it?
I'll say
50 million.
You know, 18 million.
Well, we only got two tight ends making that kind of money a year.
You said he's elite.
All right.
So
I never said he was elite. All right. Well, I'm just asking. Hey, you know, sort of top five money for a tight end is 14 million. So I'm guessing they don't really want to go above 10, but they'll see.
Well, if he has a big year, 10's a hell of a bargain. I don't think he'd sign for $10 million, depending on what kind of year he has.
I'll say this. If he has a big year,
he's gone.
Probably some things happen in the receiving corps and in the running game that the Bucs didn't want to happen. Because a lot of his numbers were inflated last year because of the injuries.
Yep.
So, granted, it's great to have a guy that can fill in.
His numbers were also deflated because of his injury. So you could look at it like that.
I know. So it's a big question mark.
The games that Evans and Godwin were both out, he pretty much carried the passing attack.
Yeah, he played great. You know, you can't argue. At least you have to look at it fairly and say, hey, this is the main tight end blocker for top 3-4 running game in the NFL. So
I think Light considers him one of his draft gems. He wouldn't be at the top of the list, but he's one of them.
Fourth
and Light doesn't like to part with those guys.
All right, Sage. So now that we're finished with tight end position.
Yes, we are.
Let me just take you right back to Rashad White real quick because I wrote a little thing on him. He was doing a Orlando camp for kids a few weeks ago, and he's looking super lean, just as lean as he was back when we saw him at OTAs, at the mini camp, where he had told the media he dropped about 8 or 9 pounds, working on his quickness, explosiveness. Obviously, he wants a big year. He had 9 touchdowns last year total.
6 as a receiver, Steve. That's a big number.
It's a very big number. Charles Sims, you were going crazy for him. He had 5 year.
That's a big number for a running back.
You know, a 9 total is a big number for anybody. And you
especially
know,
when he was splitting carries for much of the season.
Exactly. So, big year for him. We know that. Just your thoughts. And one of the things why I wrote the story is, in this little video for kids, Ira, at a kids camp, he's playing basketball with them because it was raining, and here he is. He takes the ball, one dribble, and he dunks. Not some big run up like, oh, I'm going to see if I can dunk.
This is like Tristan Wirfs jumping out of that pool, Stevie.
For a guy who measured 6 foot at the
combine, incredible athleticism.
6 foot at the combine is what he measured. There are various dunk calculators out there that'll tell you if I'm this tall and this is my standing arm reach, and I need 6 inches over the rim to be able to dunk and not just touch the rim.
He's not the only 6 footer who's ever dunked.
That means his vertical leap is still like 40 inches, which is extraordinary. And what does the Sage think of that?
Lee, here's the way I'm looking at the White situation. If he averages over 4 yards a carry again, which he did last year, and made a jump, and there's no reason to think he's still not going to be a hell of a receiver coming out of the backfield. He ain't going to lose that. And Lee, we both agree, he makes that first guy miss after he catches the ball.
In the
open
field.
He's got a tremendous knack for it. If he has a really good year, and he's not going to be the number one back if Irving's not hurt, I think he'll leave. I think he'll leave. I think somebody will throw some money at White. If he can get that average where it was, 4.3, that's impressive. And a hell of a, you know, receiving back with the 6 touchdown catches, 9 total. I think he's gone. And I don't think the way this league is right now, he's the number 2 back. The Bucs are not going to lay out a lot of money for the number 2 back when another team thinks he can be their number 1 back.
I would be very surprised if Rashad White's back. He's a backup running. He's a number 2 running back. I've said this since he was a rookie. I continue to believe this. I think he's a misplaced receiver. I really do. But apparently he wants to be a running back, barring something unforeseen happening to Bucky Irving. And even then, I don't think White's back. I think they'll go with Sean Tucker. You know, pretty soon the Bucks going to start
and draft the back.
Yeah, the pretty soon the Bucks going to start counting their nickels because they have too many guys that are going to need to be paid. 2 or 3 of these guys this year, next year, the following year, 2 or 3 of these guys are going to wave bye bye to because they're not going to have the money. Rashad White's going to be one of those guys.
He might get paid in free agency, Steve, if he has a good year.
I'll say this real quick about Rashad White and his hops. His dunking, this is a big subject I had over the weekend with my old crowd in Southern Illinois.
You used to dunk, didn't you, Lee, on a 6-foot rim?
No, but here's my point about dunking. When I hear and read people slobber over themselves, this guy dunked, that guy dunked. First off, I think it's one of the most boring plays in all of sports, run.
It's the only ESPN highlights they ever show at the NBA.
And that shows the IQ, ESPN. Having said that, this is what I say when people froth at the mouth over one of the greatest athletes in the world who's 6'7", dunk a basketball. I've seen 6'2 farm boys dunk in games. A 6'7 pro athlete who's one of the best athletes, basketball players are the best athletes in the world.
That doesn't mean I don't want to watch Julius Irving in flight. That doesn't mean that.
Well, that's a whole different animal.
That's a whole different animal.
But your run-of-the-mill NBA player that's 6'5 dunking, yawn.
I think White's got a payday ahead of him.
I think he's probably less than 50% chance that he's back with the Bucks, depending on what happens this year.
Part of it's the position he plays, Steve.
A big part of it is, so the number 2 guy in the league last year for catch rate, percentage of balls thrown to you that you actually catch, that was Bucky Irving.
I believe I have the numbers, 47 of 52. I believe that's right.
Number 3 was Rashad White.
Wow.
We talk about Rashad White's great at making guys miss. Who's better? Bucky Irving. So it's a tough spot for White, and he knows those numbers.
He does.
He's very tuned into that. I think the answer to Lee's question or the continuation of what Lee brought up is the Bucks will be looking at Otten or White. Which one are we going to pay?
Easy.
If that's the situation, right now it's Otten, but we don't know if Bucky Irving's really durable. We'll find
and
that
Lee,
out this
if
year.
If I'm White and his agent, I'm probably thinking I don't want to back up Bucky Irving for the next 3 years and sign a low contract.
They just want the biggest contract.
Ding.
White's going to want to get paid. As simple as that. His mom just bought something very expensive.
Yeah. generally, running backs, they may sign a second contract, and then that's it. So Rashad White's looking at likely his last contract coming up. He's going to go for the money.
Great point by Lee. White turns 27 in January. So, if he gets a 3-year deal from somebody for he's going to want it to be max out, and that's that. But you never know.
They will have to cough up some cash for Gedeky. And Gedeky's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere.
I don't expect that. Yeah.
Unless he has another concussion. Unless something spooks him with that. But
the money won't stop the Bucks from re-signing Gedeky.
No. Steve made a very fair point that we all overlook. That was a nasty concussion he had last year. And we all know about Bucks offensive linemen, good Bucks offensive linemen, and concussions. That chased Ali Marpet. Now, I don't think Gedeky's Ali Marpet. Ali Marpet seems to be much more heady guy, intelligent guy. I'm not saying Gedeky's dumb, but Marpet had his ducks in a row. He was looking at long term, and Gedeky's just like, give me the money, dude. I want to play football.
By the way, I just made his bits his day the other day by placing Doug Martin in my top 50. Not only in my top 50 Bucks of all time, but I believe I had him at like 31.
It was honest.
And Steve liked it. Steve liked it.
Yeah.
He had 2 big years, Lee. Not good years. Big years.
Yeah.
Big years. 2 of the 3 greatest years by a Buck running back in their history.
Yes.
Is Doug Martin. Now, the rest of this Doug Martin story isn't very nice. It's not very good. He was out of football at the age of 30, Steve. That shouldn't happen.
Well, it happens to most running backs.
Well, it wasn't really because of an injury.
Your good buddy John Gruden signed him. He had 4-point-something yards a carry in Oakland.
Getting back to Rashad White, and you just mentioned Doug Martin and his age, I do know people high up in the Bucs organization. They were talking to me one time. There is one guy, but I'm not going to out him. And this is a long time ago he told me this. The data on running backs when they approach 30 is damning.
You said they drop off a cliff, Lee.
Big time. So with Rashad White, and that's a great point that Steve made. He's pushing 27, and the ample history of the NFL of running backs, you know, disappearing before they get 30, I don't think White's back.
Steve, you've posted 8 stories on Bucky Irving in the last month.
That's probably mostly me.
And you know what I think of the guy. Am I overrating this guy?
No.
Lee, am I talking him up too much?
Without Bucky Irving, did the Bucs win the division last year? I say no.
He saved jobs. Saved jobs.
He may have saved Todd Bowles.
Come on. He saved jobs, in my opinion. He was phenomenal.
I think he's the number one reason why they went from 20 points a game to 29.
I think that's a legitimate argument.
He was phenomenal, Ira. Phenomenal.
Can he do it again?
He can do it again, but we don't know how durable he really is, and we're going to find out. Yeah, that's what knocks these guys down.
I didn't like that fumble at Atlanta, Steve. Week 5,
that's okay.
I didn't like it.
It happens. You know, it's not like he kept it going with. He's not.
I don't think he's got a fumble problem.
No, that was his only fumble, wasn't it?
And by the way, I'm going to say it one more time for like the 6th time. I'm not kept up at night by Baker Mayfield's turnovers. I can live with it, Lee. If he's throwing 41 touchdown passes and they're averaging 29.5 points a game, what are you nitpicking?
Now, is this coming from the same guy who was bent out of shape that the Bucs had a quarterback who threw for 5,000 yards, but you were worried about the picks? Come on now.
Well, 16-8-30. 16-8-30. And they didn't average 29 points a game. But to be fair to Winston, he didn't have this kind of running game either most of his years.
He rarely had a running game.
Most of his years. He did have Doug Martin. He had Doug Martin for one of his big years.
That's
right?
What I'm thinking, yeah.
Martin's first big year was before James came.
Yes, correct. It's a weird situation only because Mayfield led the league in picks, led the league in fumbles, and he took a lot of sacks behind a really good offensive line. So that combination just can't sustain itself. So he's got to get better there, but doesn't take away from his great year. But that combination is never going to sustain for any quarterback.
I think I'm more concerned about the fumbles. I mean,
yeah, me too.
Stop fumbling. You know, tuck that ball away. The picks I can live with, Lee, because he likes to hold on to the ball and let a play develop. And I don't want to take that away from him, Lee. And
like you said, Ira, it's only 16 in a 17-game season. That's not throwing 30 and 16. It's crazy.
He didn't throw a pick in the playoff game, did he? I mean, they had that one fumble.
Yeah, right? one fumble.
And they scored 20 points with very limited opportunities that day. Mm-hmm. Very limited opportunity.
Let's talk a little Todd Bowles for a minute here. From the standpoint of Jason Light, you know, sat down with Sports Day Tampa Bay podcast, and he really went out of his way to he tried not to say it, and he tried to put all these words there, but he couldn't contain himself. I'm just going to read the quote. He said, "It was my dream to one day have 5 solid starters like we have right now that arguably could potentially be the top unit in the NFL. It's not crazy to say they're right up there," which means Light's dying to just say these guys are the best unit in the NFL. Ben Bredesen's the old man at 27.
That's amazing.
Just turned 27.
Amazing.
They're young. They're experienced. They're damn good. They got a Hall of Famer on the line. They got some other top studs. They got a first round of a center. If Jason Light believes, and Lee, do you believe that Light really thinks they're the best line in the league?
Or probably.
So I think so, too. Top two. If Light thinks they're that good, doesn't that ramp up the pressure on Todd Bowles to make sure that you come through this thing with a great record?
It ramps up the pressure on Grizzard. Grizzard's the guy under the gun.
I think there's tons of pressure on Grizzard.
Now, Lee, I'll give you an example about this old line. This tells you what I think. D. Orlando Ledbetter, our friend from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Who just won the Bill Nunn Award a couple of years ago, you know, given to one sports writer a year. Mm. The award that Isbitz can't believe that I haven't won for 50 years of service. He sent me a text a week ago and said, "Hey, I'm doing a big NFC South preview, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Can you answer these questions about the Bucs?" And he had 5 categories. One of them was coaching. One of them was intangibles. Well, one of them was strengths. One of them was weak. Strengths. I picked the offensive line.
That's not wrong.
I picked the offensive line. I don't think I'm wrong.
I don't think you are either.
to be fair.
Although you could argue wide receiver, too.
They've gotten a break because they haven't suffered a major injury up front.
Cross your fingers.
They missed six games between the five of them last year.
Wow.
That's pretty damn good.
And half of that was worse, was it?
Gedeky.
Oh, that's right, the concussions.
I don't think it's crazy to suggest this is a top one or two offensive line. I think they're doing a hell of a job.
I don't think it's nuts. And that quote that Steve just had, you know who really loves that quote? Who really loves that quote more than anybody? Gedeky's agent.
Oh, that's good. And Light doesn't mind talking up Gedeky, which sometimes GMs, you know, they're very aware of who's in a contract year.
Yeah.
And they parse their words very carefully. Light doesn't do that.
He doesn't seem to care about any of them. He'll talk them all up.
It's Blazers money.
Talk them all up. we were talking about running backs, and Greg Rosenthal, who's been around a long time, Pro Football Talk, NFL editor and podcast or whatever. He's got a newer podcast now. So he's sitting there ranking running backs with Nick Shook of NFL.com, and they basically roll out all these advanced numbers, and Rosenthal rolls out all these advanced data that the NFL has access to from Next Gen and other things.
Deep track numbers.
Right, and I'll just read the summary quote. You know, highest rate of forced missed tackles in the league, over 5 yards a carry from Irving on inside runs and outside runs. And
five yards a carry on inside runs, Lee.
Yeah.
For a little guy.
And he goes on to say the advanced numbers and the raw numbers would actually tell you he is already like a top 8 or top 10 back. I'm not ready to go there, but I'm happy to put him at number 14.
What do you mean? The word butt in there
You're saying the data says he's a top 8 running back, but you're ranking him number 14?
Maybe he wants to see 2 years.
This is the Bucs.
Give me some of the guys that are like 11 and 12 over there.
I just listened to the whole thing. He had guys who didn't even have great years last year, like Montgomery legacy kind of stuff.
Montgomery's like the number two back in Detroit.
I'm going to be fair to Rosenthal. I think he was looking at body of work. You know, Irving just a rookie. So
the guy had 1,500 yards from scrimmage.
Oh, I'm not knocking what Irving did. I'm just trying to think where Rosenthal's mind was. If he's using David Montgomery, that tells me he won more of a body of work.
We're not putting him ahead of Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry.
I'm not saying that. Yeah, I'm sort of playing devil's
advocate. You find a spot at number 9?
I'm sort of playing devil's advocate, but it smells like he was looking at one of his criteria is body of work.
I think that's it. I think he's only done it.
That wasn't how the podcast was expressed.
It was a fantastic rookie season. Any way you slice it. Fantastic.
No question.
All right, Iris. So Lee brought up the subject of one-score games on the website recently, and I have issue with it. I always have, and Lee knows that, which is kind of fun.
And Steve's not wrong, but I try to keep it objective.
Oh, I'm keeping it objective, too. Lovie Smith,
season
he got fired.
I almost said a dirty word, Ira.
Season Lovie Smith got fired.
2015.
Yeah. Bucks were 6-6. They lost a bunch of close games and closed 6-10. Lovie was 5-4. In one-score games with a top-10 defense, ranked. Now, the defense...
It was rank, all right.
The defense, in reality, wasn't very good. But top-10 defense and 5-4 in one-score games. So that's one example that I give is that the one-score games is nonsense. Like Josh McCown, after his year, those guys talking. Dirk Cutter used to do this. Oh, you know, we were so close in one-score games. We had so many. So stop it. The whole league is a one-score game.
That's what you say when you got a bad record.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
I mean, I get it. If you have a bunch of one-score games, that means you're in the game. That may be one or two players away or maybe one play away or a little – this is way overlooked – a little bit better coaching, hint, but you got to look at the big picture. You know,
Lee, along those lines, one point that I think gets overlooked about last year's Buccaneers, they only played like one really bad game.
Denver. Mm-hmm.
One bad game.
All right. I come on.
Oh, you got him going.
Are you?
You got him going.
Can you win?
If you win the game, you can't play a very bad game.
So that doesn't count.
I don't think
it counts. If you win, you don't play a bad game.
A very bad game.
Okay, so if you struggle against New Orleans at the end of the year, you played well because you won.
I didn't say you played well. I just said
you didn't play bad.
You can't say you played terrible.
So winning is the greatest perfume.
So just to clarify, if you win the game, you didn't play bad. So you get at least get a C-minus if you win.
You got to see.
All right, so now I'm clear. Go ahead.
The Denver game was awful.
And terrible. It sparked Lavonte David into a rant at his teammates.
And that doesn't come naturally.
No, that's not Lavonte David. You know,
Steve, I believe the Bucks were 2-0 and Denver could have been 0-2 at that time. I don't remember.
Yeah.
And Bo Nix hadn't done a thing.
You bring it up often, you're correct.
You know what? Denver's coming on, Lee. A lot of people are jumping on the Broncos this year. I'm a Chiefs fan from way back when. I think Denver can give Kansas City a little run for their money over there.
I think so,
I like
too.
Sean Payton. I like Sean Payton.
Because you had a cocktail with him?
That's part of it.
You don't think the Bucs played badly at home against the Falcons?
Not terrible. Not terrible. They're right in the game. They're in the game. They're in the game. Denver, they weren't in the game. They weren't in the game.
Would you say Falcons or Saints?
I said Falcons.
Terrible.
At home.
Yeah. If you lose, terrible. Period. If you win, you won.
All right, Sage. I don't know. I can't.
Let's say they were competitive.
I don't like
every
this.
Game except Denver. Every game
they're
except
good,
Denver.
They're a good football team. Here's they've got to get better.
Well, even good teams, they have a week where they don't
show
up.
Of course.
You know, a week or two.
I think this is part of what Steve's getting at. I know you'll tell me if I'm wrong or not. You don't hear coaches, if they have a bunch of one-score games, saying in 50 press conferences in the offseason, we were in 9-1 score games.
Not at all.
Yeah. If anything, they're ticked off that they were one-score games.
All right, Ira, the sirens are coming for you here. So,
the dudes with the white sleeves.
Are you surprised that Light is not trying to temper his enthusiasm for this team?
No.
You think he's putting too much expectations on the coaching staff, Lee?
I think he's putting too high of expectations on his inside linebackers. I'm still worried. I think they're putting way too much stock in Servassier Dennis. Now, they would counter, we got Anthony Walker. Yeah, and Bull's talking up Deion Jones like he's Ray Lewis. Give me a break.
Well, six years ago, he was damn good.
Jason Light, same interview I was talking about. Jason Light quoting, Deion Jones has been really, really good for us, and he's a former Pro Bowler, and he's probably our most athletic fast, especially in coverage. He was talking about the guys at the position of inside linebacker.
I thought Dennis is fast and athletic.
Well, he is. He's also
and
brittle.
And a lot younger.
I'm just telling
he's
you
brittle.
what the GM's saying.
Yeah. He's also brittle.
I'm okay with Jones being my fourth inside linebacker.
Maybe he's going to be.
he's my fourth inside linebacker. Okay. All right. I'll take it. Not too bad. I don't see him starting unless Dennis falls apart. And Walker's ahead of him on the depth chart, Lee. Walker's ahead of Deion Jones.
I would think.
You're a little hung up on this inside linebacker thing.
Yeah,
Lee.
Because
it's
I don't
bothering
like,
you.
I don't like banking on hope. And you're hoping Servassier Dennis is healthy, and he's never been healthy. So I'm very uncomfortable
and
with
I'm
that.
Hoping Jamel Dean gets his hands on some footballs over there, Steve.
And I'm hoping Baker Mayfield can keep his incredible play going.
I'm going to say it one more time, and then I'm going to retire this line. I'm not convinced Dean makes the final roster. I'm not convinced.
Oh.
I'm not convinced.
You know, there is that chance.
I'm not convinced.
There is that chance what you're talking about. I'm not as convinced as you, but I would say there's 5% chance. Here's what has to happen.
He's making some money, Steve. He's making some money.
Here's what, and I know where I was coming from. If Morrison and what's-his-face from Kansas State.
Parrish.
He's already, I think, shown something, but again, underwear football. If those guys ball out in training camp, the door's open for Dean to walk out. I'm not saying they will do that. I'm not saying they should do that. The door's open.
Dean needs a decent training camp, and he can't get hurt.
All right, either. So how does this go? To pile on what Lee said, Light, in that same interview, he raved about Emeka Egbuka. He's this, he's that. Light said he's even more talented and explosive than they thought once they got to really watch him in person.
He's always going to say that.
No, he's not. Yeah. No, he's not. And then he went on to say, Morrison and Parrish, quote, they've been as amazing as what we talk about Egbuka and just how encouraged they are about these two guys. So I guess my question to you is, Ira, if Jason Light says, look, Morrison and Parrish are ready. These guys, you see it, Todd, you work in there. We're watching the film. They're ready. Zion's same guy, hopefully getting a little better.
Contract year. He's motivated.
We're trading Dean. So-and-so, these guys had an injury. They want Dean. We're going to eat
what do you think,
a
coach?
Few million. You know, we're making the deal. Or what do you think, coach? And Bowles says, no way. You kidding me? Are they going to argue that out? Who wins that fight?
I think Bowles wins. It's his side of the ball. It's his specialty, secondary. I don't know if he'll go to bat for Jamel Dean to that extent. I just don't know that. And by the way, and Lights, you know, he's got a habit of talking up his draft picks, you know.
Because it makes him look good.
In the dead season. But He's really ramped it up the last couple of years, Lee. And this year, I think it's reached a crescendo.
Well, he's got a reason to crow, I think.
He's really crowing about these drafts. Wait till he starts talking about David Walker.
Well,
where do we get him going on Walker?
To be just so people are clear, if I had to put money down, Jamel Dean started.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
If I had to put money down, I think he would be. They would explore a trade before they'd outright cut him. But again, I don't. I suspect Bowles doesn't want to get rid of him for bare minimum. It dilutes your depth.
What about
and they had a depth problem?
What
last
about
year.
Midseason? Is he starting in midseason?
I don't know. Well, if he gets hurt, I think his starting job goes bye bye. And so in other words, it's a matter of time.
and if he's hurt, you can't trade him, or at least not for anything legitimate.
But by midseason, Morrison's probably 100%.
I don't know.
You know, we don't know.
I don't know who's playing. I don't know. It's a mystery. But you look, Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, this is your podcast. You're still saying that you're leaning that Dean is not on the 53-man roster.
What about Hall? Nobody talks about Hall as a backup. Can he be the backup and start Morrison and McCollum have Hall as the backup?
If he's healthy.
Can I answer that with a Vince Lombardi quote? Grab, 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 grab.
That's a tremendous NFL Films moment. All I say, grab, grab, grab. Nobody's tackling, Lee. Nobody's tackling.
Ira, Bucks announced their creamsicle game this year. The orange jerseys will be against Atlanta Thursday Night Football in December.
I'm colorblind. I'm not even going to know what the hell they're wearing over there.
You can't see orange?
Red, green, orange.
You can see white pants.
What is it?
White helmets.
What does it look like
that's
to you?
That's a hell of a red shirt you got on over there, December.
What is it? What is
well,
that?
Yours could be red or it could be brown. I think it's red. Is it red?
It's sort of a dark red.
Dark red? I'm not going that.
This is not about your health problems, Ira.
What about the fence? Or red?
Rust.
Red? Rust color?
Rust. Yeah. I don't know what the hell rust is.
All right. So
rust never sleeps.
Rust is your chip shot.
Ask Lee, and you can chime in then, since you're blind. Lee, do you think they should go consider going creamsicles full time? The fans seem to love it.
Oh,
they look good.
I don't know about that. Their uniforms are classic as they are right now. I don't know about going full time creamsicle. I actually think it'll be a backlash against that because there's already a vocal minority that don't want them to wear creamsicles ever again. And I think there would be a backlash if they went creamsicles full time. But two or three times a year, I'd be cool with.
Where are the Bucks in the power rankings, Stevie? Are they top 10? I'm all over the place.
You don't want to talk colors. You don't want to talk colors.
Are they top 10? Should they be top 10?
I've seen them around, I'd say, depending on who you're looking at.
9 or 10?
Maybe anywhere from 9 to 14, depending on some people.
14 seems a little low, Lee.
Not really.
It's typical of the Bucks, you know.
What are you going to put, the L.A. Chargers ahead of them? Why?
14 makes you a playoff team.
If I have an issue with the power rankings that I've seen, and they're all out there right now, but I hear and read a lot of people have the Niners over the Bucks. I just don't see that. They've lost so many people, and it's not like they were a playoff team last year. I just don't see how anybody objectively could have the Niners over the Bucks.
They got, you know what, they're counting on Saleh being in charge of the defense again. Now, he's a good defensive coach, I understand that. But they've lost a lot of talent.
I mean,
I think they're in regression a little. Trent Williams is on his last legs. How much more has this guy got to
stay upright? A lot of weapons, both defense and offense. I just don't see how anybody objectively can pick them in June of 2025 that they're better than the Bucks.
And Detroit's been diminished a little bit, Lee, their offensive line.
Well, coaching, too. Yeah, the center, all-pro center. What happened when the Bucks lost a Pro Bowl center? We saw
what happened. Couldn't run the ball.
Well, part of it was they didn't have a good running back, but I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit drops off. I'm not saying they will, but I wouldn't be surprised.
All right, Ira, two quick questions before we get out of here on your glorious podcast. And thank you, Bill Curry Ford. Don't worry, drive Curry. BillCurryFord.com. Get shopping today. Great offers are running through the end of the month, so keep that in mind as we get closer every day. And
don't forget about Florida's Elite Restoration.
Who's
Steve?
Forgetting about it?
Forget about it.
What do you like to say?
Great crew, fantastic crew. Call them before you call your insurance company. They know the insurance angles to this business, which is a big, big asset for you. And don't forget about the Ira Kaufman discount.
There you go. And, you know, if your neighbor's tree falls on your house, you need someone who actually understands what the laws are. You know, you can't just have some tree guy come and pull it off the roof and, hey, now what? You know, don't do that. Call Florida's Elite Restoration. All right. Ira, you pumped out your list. You're counting down your top 50. It's taken you a long time. And we got Number 35, Michael Pittman. Number 34, Leonard Fournette, which kind of threw me for a loop a little bit, right?
I give extra credit if you're helping a team win a championship. I give you extra credit for that.
As you should. Donovan Smith, number 33 overall.
That'll get people angry.
Rob Gronkowski, 32. Doug Martin, 31. Do you have any regrets? Any commentary?
I got regrets from a guy I put in the 40s with Donnie Abraham. I might have shorted him some Buck fans.
Really?
I rightfully pointed out. He probably should be maybe in the 20s. But I apologize to Donnie Abraham. He was a really good player. He had 20 interceptions in a three-year span. I think Jermell Dean could play 22 years and not get 20 interceptions.
If I thought you shorted anybody, and this might be nitpicking, it was Batman Wood.
Yeah, I could see it. Baker Mayfield's still out there, and he's coming up. I got to put him in there. I got to put him
over Doug Williams.
I didn't say over Doug Williams.
Okay. Wow, I wasn't.
What am I going to do with Baker Mayfield? He just drew 41 touchdowns. What am I supposed to do with him?
Ooh, that's I didn't make a list, so I didn't consider that. But that's
he ain't top 10, but he's on the list.
I'm assuming he's got to be behind Brad Johnson.
He is behind Brad Johnson.
That's an interesting list.
You help a team win a Vince Lombardi trophy, you play a pivotal role, you get points for that.
Well, I in my top 50, I definitely had Brad Johnson in there. I know I had him over Doug Williams because he won a ring and he had better numbers.
That 02 season, he was really good. Brad Johnson was very, very
good.
Made
the Pro Bowl, didn't he?
That year. 22 touchdowns, 6 picks. Got hurt at the end of the year, but came back and played a very strong postseason. Brett Johnson was a good player. He had good years for Washington, too.
And Minnesota.
And Minnesota. Yeah.
The Mayfield thing has really thrown me for a loop.
Well, you're going to leave him off the 50?
Okay, well, is it fair to say, guys, that Mayfield had one great year last year?
Great.
Very good 2 years ago and great last year.
Yeah, statistically great. I mean, for me to put great on there, you have to do more than just make the playoffs.
41's a huge number.
Subjective.
Wait, 70%?
I'm calling it.
I didn't say it was bad.
It a great year. I'm not putting the 2023 season on some list of special stuff.
Can you have a dink and dunk offense if you throw 41?
Can you be
touchdowns?
A top 25 overall Buccaneer with one great year?
I didn't say he was top 25.
All right.
He's coming up on the rail.
I don't know.
Oh, so this is a tease, Ira.
It's a little tease there, baby. Steve, you said dink and dunk, and he has 41 touchdown passes. I don't know. That doesn't make too much sense there.
No, they were a dink and dunk offense. I know Liam Cohen got mad at me for writing that, but I also wrote it was effective, and it was. But I think their average throws was like third lowest in the league.
That's like 2.5 touchdown passes a game, close to it.
Interesting. I have to think through the Mayfield stuff. It'll give me something to do, Ira, in the coming
maybe
days.
Maybe he'd get more than 41 if Godwin didn't get hurt.
I bet you he would have. By the way, I could just see the look on his face. His wheels are turning about this Mayfield.
I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated. Interesting. Well, Lee made a top 50 list. Did you have Mayfield on there?
I don't remember having him on there, no, because it's way too small a sample size.
Interesting. Ira's got him somewhere around 30-ish and leading.
You know, I got Zion McCollum number 3, and off we go.
I think I had 3 quarterbacks. Williams, but he wasn't that high. Again, didn't make a Super Bowl. His numbers were, let's put it this way, Sean King had better numbers. I know his impact on the franchise, but I couldn't go high with Doug Williams.
Brady and Brad Johnson.
I had Brad Johnson, and I had Brady. I want to say Brady was top 5. Maybe I had him number 4. 5 or 4 I had Brady.
Well, along those lines, Brady only had 2 big years for the Bucs.
Only had 2 big years, but like I talked to Kevin O'Donnell, the former sports anchor at Channel 13, he did the same thing I did. What was your impact on the team? And obviously Brady's was massive.
I got another guy that's going to turn your head, Steve.
All right.
You Green.
The linebacker?
I think people forget how good a player he was. And interesting story about I came in 85 to Tampa, and I was working for United Press. And I would go to the Bucks all the time. This is the Lehman Bennett year, you know, first of 2. The team was miserable. They finished 2-14. Midway through the season, I'm in the locker room. Hugh Green was just bristling. He had been in the league, you know, a number of years before that. And he was a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
Tremendous college player. So I go up to Hugh Green and I start talking to him and he says, you got to get me out of here. I go, excuse me? He goes, I want out. And, you know, quotes are on the wire within an hour.
Wow.
You know? And the Tampa Tribune had to pick it up and use my quotes. Jim Selman, God bless him, good reporter, covered the Bucks in the 70s. Yeah,
so you're basically younger than Hugh Green at this point. He's leaning on you.
Well, I was about 30. and he was about 30, and they traded him. I think they traded Jimmy Giles, Hugh Green. Anyway, Hugh Green was a hell of a
player.
That's
a fun story. I want out.
He wanted out.
I want out.
He wants out.
Get me out of here. All right, we're going to get out of here, Ira, as well. And,
no, I would never say that to you, Steve. Get me out of here.
You might.
I'd never say it.
Not like you did Russo. I'm Joe.
We could trade you back to the Tampa Bay Times. We could do that.
And we might have a good story coming up next week. There's a tease.
Sage is working.
I'm working it.
There's no summers off for Ira.
Absolutely not. Except for training camp.